Well, good morning, and welcome to Christian Baptist Church this this fine morning. I don't suppose any of you showed up at 10 o'clock, right? You all did put your clocks back last night. A couple of minutes. We do have a very different service with us today. We've got a group called Freedom Bound leading us in worship this morning, and they will introduce themselves when they come up at the beginning. I just want to go through a couple of announcements in the bulletin. Next Sunday is November the 11th, and it is Remembrance Day. And we will have our memorial, if you like, our moment of remembrance at 11 o'clock at the beginning of the service on Sunday. But also the community has asked us to, as we're one of the churches with a bell, and there's a program going on all around the world, apparently, of the ringing of church bells at 11 o'clock. Next Sunday is the November the 11th, 2018. That marks 100 years since the signing of the armistice in 1918. So it's been 100 years since the end of the First World War. So it's at sunset, which is around 4:54 next Sunday. And I invite everybody, I'll be here to lead a brief time of prayer. And then anybody who's here can take a turn and ring the bell of the church. I believe the United Church across the street and St. John's down the road are also joining in, so there should be a lot of bell ringing around 5 o'clock next Sunday. So anybody who's here can have a chance to ring the bell. So I will be here too. November is a very busy month for us. We've got the sheep packing. It's next Saturday, November 10th. Anne-Marie, what time is that?
4:30.
4:30 next Saturday here, followed by a potluck supper. Speak to Anne-Marie if you have any questions. And the pancake breakfast is the following Saturday, the 17th. And we put on pancake breakfast for the community as the Santa Claus parade passes by our front door. And our anniversary Sunday is November the 25th, and that will mark 196 years of God's faithfulness in this community, in this congregation. So the sign up there says we've been here since 1822. And there's a note there about our special offerings for this year. Take note of that. So let us begin. Let us be still before the Lord this morning. Let each heart and mind remain focused on the Lord and his presence among us. Scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus is among us. And so the Lord is here by his Spirit. Let each heart and mind here be prepared to meet the Lord this morning. Let us open our ears. Still that inner voice, so we can hear his voice speak to us. Let each one of us determine to receive his Spirit anew and afresh. In the Book of Lamentations, Jeremiah writes of his many struggles. And in Lamentations 3, he says, I call to mind, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let us begin our time in worship this morning. I'll ask Freedom Bound to come forward and introduce themselves and lead us in our worship this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Don, and we'll introduce our group in just a moment. We're going to start by singing a couple of worship songs together. Beginning with Great is Thy Faithfulness. It is 139 in your hymnal. And there is an insert also in your bulletin that the words are printed. So please stand together as we worship the Lord in singing of his faithfulness to us.
Thank you. Well, good morning, and we're glad to be here with you today. We are Freedom Bound, and I'll just do a quick introduction so that you know, put names to faces. On my far right is Donnie Ross. Donnie is a fleet supervisor with Black & McDonald. Beside me, Murray Stewart. Murray is a carpenter. My far right, or my far left, Dwight Weidman, and Dwight is a gardener. Beside me, Don Kennedy, and Don is retired from firefighting and is now studying at Tyndale College. Is it a correspondent? Theology course. And my name is Eric Blackburn. Oh, and on piano, we have Joan Weidman, and she's a vice president at Lenbrook Industry. My name is Eric Blackburn, and I'm a retired farmer, and we're glad to be here with you tonight. Today. We are from a wide variety of backgrounds, but we have the thing in common we have is we all love the Lord and we want to sing His praises.
Ooh.
please stand? Lord, we bless your holy name. We give you thanks and praise for your many blessings towards us, unending blessings towards us. So Lord, now with grateful and thankful hearts, we return to you these our tithes and offerings. We ask you to bless them, multiply them, and show us how to use them wisely and prudently for your kingdom work here in Newmarket and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are there any children here today? Ruvish, I see you. Thomas, I see you. Deborah, Priscilla, Lydia, Charlie.
Is there like romper room? Remember romper room?
No. No, I'm a bit tall.
Remember that? The mirror? I see Julie, I see Benny.
Quite a lot of children.
That's a good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming to church today. So on Thursday we get our paper at home and I open the flyers. And you know what I saw? Like reindeers and stars and red balls, and I sound a bit like the Grinch. I don't mean to be the Grinch, but you know, there's that line at the beginning of the Grinch where he's going off about all those bangles and bows. So they're in the flyer already. And then I was doing my shopping yesterday, and they're in the store already. It's like November 4th. I think it's like 61 days till Christmas. That's a long time to wait. Are you already waiting for Christmas? Really? That's a long time to wait. So, I'm going to read something here from Isaiah. So that's the Old Testament, right? So a long time ago. When about was Isaiah written?
750 BC.
So 750 BC, and Jesus was born, like, we number our years from when Jesus was born. So this is 750 years before Jesus was born. And it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So that line, that virgin shall bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, you probably recognize that from lots of Christmas pageants, and from, you know, that sounds like a Christmas verse, right? But it was written in the Bible like 750 years before Jesus came. The people of God, the people of Israel, the people that were following God during the time that the Old Testament was written, they were all waiting for Jesus to come and save them. And they weren't quite sure in what way he would save them, but they had things like that, and they were waiting for 750 years for the first Christmas. So we only have to wait this time 61 days, unless you've been waiting every day since the last time, which means you would have missed out on a lot of summer. The point I was going to make from all of that is, you'll be looking at Christmas stuff for 61 days, and then a few more days after that. And during that time, you could think, if you want to, think about that doesn't just mean there's a Christmas tree or a bauble or a bangle or a bow, but that God gave us the greatest gift, and the people of Israel waited a really long time, and finally God came, and we should be glad about that. So I'll say a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you fulfill your promises, and that the promises that were made in the Old Testament came true. And as we have a really long time now waiting for Christmas, God, maybe help us some of those times that we see all those Christmas symbols to think about you. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Let's pray. remain still in our hearts and our minds, be mindful that we are in the presence of our Creator, Redeemer, loving God. His eyes are on us. His hands are on our lives. Father God, thank you for all of your blessings towards us individually, as families, as a congregation, as a community, and as a country. Lord, we pray for the conflict that's going on all around the world. Lord, I'm particularly asking for your blessing and your hand on the country of Pakistan. The Christians are being beaten and murdered. Their homes are being burnt down because a woman was acquitted of a false charge of blasphemy. And the country there seems to be angry that she wasn't hanged. And Lord, we fear for her life because the mob might very well rule. Lord, by your sovereign grace and your sovereign power, rescue that woman, S.A.B.B., and bring her out of that country to a safe place. Lord, we pray for the adherents of that religion that calls themselves a religion of peace, that they will find the true peace that is found only in Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, we pray for our own country too, moving further and further away from godly biblical values. Lord, we pray for our leaders, our Prime Minister, our Cabinet, our Premier, local council. Lord, turn all hearts towards you. Bring salvation. Bring redemption, Lord, we pray. Does anyone have a prayer request of their own today? We give you thanks for the blessing now you've given to the Obikuru family, that Jeff's mother and brother are now closer to them, where they can be helped. And we just ask you to continue to bless them as they settle into their new homes. And bless Jeff and Karen and the children there, Lord, as they continue to look after their mother and grandmother.
I've got an item of praise. There's a movie going on to different churches sponsored by Life 100.3. It's called I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah.
It's a biography of the band called Mercy Me.
Yeah.
And I recommend everyone watch it. It's uplifting.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Lord, we give you thanks for the production of that movie, If I Could Only Imagine. Lord, a great testimony to your hand on the life of the author of that song. Lord, I just bless everybody that has the opportunity to go and see that. Thank you, man. Finger got healed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
great. Wonderful. Great news. Thank you. Mahendra tried to cut his finger off at work the other day, and he was unsuccessful. But the Lord has healed him. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for your healing touch on Mahendra's finger, Lord. And thank you again, Lord. Just all praise to you for bringing about that healing, and quicker than we all imagined.
I'm just thankful to see Bernie and Dale this morning, and because we've been praying for them, and also if you could pray for Elsa again.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Lord, it's great to see Bernie and Dale and Elsa here again, recovered now, or recovering close to a full recovery from their illnesses. Lord, just pray your blessing on Bernie. Lord, bring his strength back to him. Lord, and Elsa too. Lord, we just want you to shower them with your love, your protection, and your healing grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. None of us has to look far for an item of praise, even in the little small things of life. Lord, we give you thanks for your blessing on all of us and on our families. Lord, I pray your health and your peace in each of our hearts, in each of our families, each of our marriages, our homes, our children, our grandchildren. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be prepared, please.
Bring to you this morning as part of worship a medley of old tunes, and some of us remember them from singing and evening services together, but we mostly want you to remember God's faithfulness to the past generations, to us in the present and in the future, and his promise of eternity.
The church in the valley by the wildwood, no lovelier spot in the dale, no place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Though I'd like to go back to that old country church to hear the songs of praise, how the people would sing, it would make the heavens ring at that old country church. Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river, gathering the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God?
Oh, I'll never forget at that old country church how the glory of the Lord came down, how the children would smile as they shouted down the aisle at that old country church.
In the sweet
by and by
we shall be on that beautiful shore.
In the sweet
by and by we shall be on that beautiful shore. On Sunday to see all my friends so dear to me at that old country church. When it came time for prayer, everybody would be there at that old country church. Leaning, safe and secure from all of ours. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Now the years have gone by, and so many have died at that old country church. But they're on the other shore, where they'll sing forevermore like they did at that old country church.
I'm redeemed.
My love be mine.
Christ is mine.
All to him.
I now resign.
I have been redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
My love divine.
Glory.
Christ is mine.
Christ is mine.
All to him.
I now resign.
I have been redeemed.
All to him.
I now resign.
I have been redeemed.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. Freely forever. One day.
Anybody here ever watched a movie more than once? Yeah. We've all got like a movie that we watched before and we want to watch it again. Right? Or a book, a favorite book, or even a play at the theater. We want to watch it again. But why do we do that? We know the actors, we know the character, you know the screenplay, we know the action, the humor, if there's any, but we want to watch it again. Mostly, I think we want to watch the movie again because we already know the outcome. We know how it ends, we know how the story ends. And if it's a very satisfying ending, most movies have a good ending and the bad guy. The good guy wins, the bad guy loses, and the good guy runs off with the girl, right? That's a good ending, and they all live happily ever after. We watch these favorite movies or these stories because it has a good ending and it's satisfying, and we want to watch it over and over again. Same for books, same for plays. But when we watch, we can't participate. We can only observe. And we're watching the action going on, and we know where it's headed, and we know what the outcome is, but we can only be observers. But do you know that you are a character in a play? You are part of an epic story being played out on earth. You are part of God's epic story of the redemption of this planet and of his creation. And he's written you as an actor into his epic play. God has plans for each one of you, for each one of us. And there's nothing happening that he doesn't have oversight over. A favorite verse of a lot of people is from Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you." Nothing's happening by happenstance, nothing's happening by accident. God's not sitting up in heaven with his head in his hands saying, "Oh, what am I going to do now? What have they done? What's Murray done? How am I going to fix that?" Right? No, God, chill. He's got it all worked out. He's in control. We're all part of God's story. We're participants in this grand play. And we're not just watchers and observers, but we're actors as the story unfolds. Now, as we watch the news each day and we read the newspapers, we're actually observing this story unfold. And because of the news that we're reading and seeing every day, we can get very concerned. Because whatever's going on in the world, we're part of it. We're part of it. And at times, it would be fair to say the world seems to be falling apart. Natural disasters surround us, floods, tsunamis, earthquakes. Every day it seems now there's another senseless shooting here in the Toronto area. And elsewhere in the world there's some outrageous conflict. And we wonder, we get anxious. We wonder, what's my part in this? But our reader's scripture tells us that these things must happen. Jesus knew that people were concerned, and he told his disciples and the crowds, these things must happen. In Luke 21, it says, "When you hear of wars and revolutions, don't be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." And he said, "Nation will rise against nation, king against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilence in various places, fearful events, and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them." So we have a part to play. So when the scripture says there will be wars, revolutions, famines, and earthquakes, we should not act surprised. We should not be surprised when we see these things happen. The challenge we have is, what should our response be when we see all this terrible things going on and wickedness all around the world and even close to home in our own country? How can a believer rightly and fearlessly live during these troubling and worsening times? What's our response? Psalm 37, it says, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." If we look back over the 20th century, there's been a lot of evil men. Stalin, Hitler, Nazi Dunn, Paul Pot. Where are they now? Where are they now? They've withered away. That's Bethany. That's mine. Trust in the Lord and do good, rather than be envious or fretting. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. There's our response. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. One of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture: be still. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off. All of the evil that's going on in the world, evil men will be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. These Psalms were written 3,000 years ago. It seems not much has changed. There is much wickedness still in the world. Wicked people flourishing in their wicked schemes. Scripture says, don't fret, don't worry. They're all going to be cut off. Our response is given to us here. We're not to be fretting, we're not to be anxious, we're not to be concerned, or to be concerned, but not to worry about what's going on in the world. We are continuing to put our hope and trust in the Lord. We're to refrain from anger or angry responses or angry conversations. We're to turn away from wrath. We're to be still and quiet before the Lord. See, we're still all a part of this play that God has written. He's still the author, and nothing's going on the stage that He's not, has a sovereign authority over. And He has the end in sight. Because the end of the story has already been written. We're all part of this plan. This drama that we're a part of has stories of colossal failures. Right in there, David, man after God's own heart, God called him that. Colossal failure, adultery and murder. There's beautiful love stories of Ruth and Boaz. There's laments, if you read Jeremiah and Lamentations. And we're as much a part of this grand story as Abraham, as David, as Ruth, as Esther, as Peter and Paul, as Mary and Joseph, Timothy, Priscilla, Lydia. Our name is in there too. Donnie, your name is in there. Eric, your name is in there. Murray, oh, not sure. Stephen, your name's in there. Shirley, you're in there too. And you, Nadia, Chris, Gloria. Our names are in that book. We're part of this massive, epic story that God is unfolding on the stage. And no one is a lesser player than another. We all have a part to play, and no one and no part is insignificant. King Solomon lamented in Ecclesiastes, "What has been will be again, what has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun." So what are the things we're reading about in the news and we see and we lament? Same old, same old. Mankind is wicked and will continue in his way until God calls the final whistle. Indeed, as we live and participate in this drama, we too have times of lament, times of war, if you like, personal defeat, personal victories. And sometimes we weep for all that's wrong in our own lives and all that's wrong in the world. And it seems some days like the world is a battlefield, because that's what it is. Where will it all end? That's a good question. But like that favorite movie that we want to watch all over and over again, because we love the ending, if we would just read the book that God has given us, we will see the ending. It's prophesied in Isaiah, speaking reading from Isaiah today. That's 750 years before Christ. Isaiah says, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines." Of course, there won't be any Baptists there with all of that wine. "On this mountain," Isaiah says, "he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces." What a comforting verse that is. Isaiah prophesying that day when all of our tears will be wiped away, all of our anxiety resolved, all of our worries, all of our concerns, all of our hurts, all of our failures. He will wipe away all tears from their all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. In that day, they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is our Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." God is a redeeming God. He loves his creation. He so loves his creation that he died to redeem it. He came to earth to die and redeem it. That's why the cross is the central image in this story, this epic story. It's the highlight of the movie, if you like, but it's not the end. The cross marked the end of the first part of the story and the beginning of the outpouring of God's grace, and the beginning of the bringing in of souls, the harvest of souls to the kingdom of God. And that's the part where we've been invited to come on stage and do our work of witnessing to the people around us, to bring this good news, this joy that's in our hearts, and it should be in our hearts because we know the end of the story. And we should be bringing that joy and that good news into the lives of hurting people. And we each have opportunity every day, because the world is hurting. Isaiah made the prophecy, but John saw the reality. John saw the end of the movie. In Revelation 21 we read, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." Just going to pause there, a little sidebar. The Bible begins with a wedding and ends with a wedding. Have you thought about that? When he created Adam and Eve and put them together, the first wedding, And the very end is the church dressed as a beautiful bride. Just a thought thrown in there. It's just, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write these words down, for they are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." What comforting, encouraging words amidst all the trouble and strife that's going on in the world today. To read the end of the story, to see the end of the movie, and we're able to go back and replay it, and replay it, and replay it, and be comforted and lifted up, because God's got it all in hand. There's nothing new under the sun. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be conflicts throughout the world. But Jesus said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." Anybody ever had any trouble in this world? Oh, for you, didn't. No trouble at all. Don's doing fine. He's just no trouble at all. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. That's why he's our Savior. That's why he's our Lord. That's why we love him. Because he's our Savior. He's overcome the world. And we walk with him in strength and in power. So like that favorite movie or that play or that book that we like to reread or recently review, the author has brought the story to a very satisfactory conclusion. So we don't fret, because we know the ending. We know how it all ends up. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, what a great book you've left us, that we know the story from the beginning to the end. We know of your sovereign authority over all things that are going on in this world. Lord, give each one of us the courage, the strength, the fortitude to live every day knowing that you've written us into your story. We're part of the team you've assembled to bring your love and your salvation message to the world. Lord, fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Give us strength to do the right thing, to say the right thing, wherever opportunity arises. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For those of you who are visiting with us today, one of the things we've introduced in our service is a thing called question period, because we know that at the end of a sermon, or the sermon 3 weeks ago, there were some nagging questions or some thoughts. So we have a little question period. I kind of feel like I'm on the spot, but ask away. Anybody have any thoughts or any questions? We've dealt with the meaning of life. We've already answered that the first Sunday. So if there's any questions. Thank you again. We now come to that time that we are listened to and accept that invitation from the Lord to be present at his table. So the command of Jesus was to do this in memory of me, like to assemble. When he gathered at the Last Supper with his disciples, he commanded them to do this and continue to repeat this in memory of him. And this communion service is celebrated all around the world in Christian churches in various different ways and rituals and rites that people use. But it is the common element. The table of the Lord is the common element of the Christian church worldwide. And so we accept the Lord's invitation as brothers and sisters to come to his table. It's both a memory of the Last Supper, the night before he died, he called his disciples. It's also a foretaste of that rich feast that Isaiah talked about, the finest meats and aged wine that awaits us at the table of the Lord. But there's a caution in Scripture for all of us to not take the table lightly, for it is a holy place and a sacred place. In 1 Corinthians 11 it says, "Therefore whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A person ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on themselves." So let's take a few moments, quiet presence with the Lord, self-examination. We all know that sin. We all know that thing that's on and going on in our lives. And we need to repent it and receive God's cleansing forgiveness. So let's take a few moments now to be present, fully present with the Lord, and confess to Him. And we do this silently. First John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you have confessed your sins today, God has heard them and has graciously forgiven you and cleansed you and purified you from all unrighteousness. So we now gather at the table. This table is open to all who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. If you have yet to make that decision, and you've not made your life fully committed to the Lord, please just observe and do not partake. Everybody who has confessed Jesus as Lord may partake at His table. Can I have the servers come forward, please? Ask Stephen to give the prayer for the elements.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this symbol, for this table celebrated all throughout the Christian Church. We thank You for the symbol, for the chance to come together and celebrate, but also to remember and to confess and to receive Your forgiveness. We thank You for the elements that You've provided to facilitate this celebration, and we thank You for the hands that have prepared them for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture tells us that on the night that He was to be betrayed, Jesus was assembled with His disciples, and He took the bread at the supper and He broke it. And He gave it to His disciples and He said, take this and eat, all of you. This is My body. Let us eat this bread together, remembering Christ's sacrifice for us. Scripture also tells us that at the end of supper, Jesus took the cup and He said to the disciples, this is the cup of the new covenant in My blood, which will be shed for the remission of sins. Drink this, all of you. Let us drink this cup together with grateful and thankful hearts, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for us.
We're going to close today by singing Spirit of the Living God, and it's 389 in your hymnal. And we're going to sing ourselves, we'll sing verse 1 and 2, and then we'd like to invite you all to come in with us on verse 1. Okay, so let's sing this.
Indeed, that should be our prayer every day, that the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh and fill us each and every day. As you go from here today, you will hear wars, rumors of wars, and bad things going on in the world, but we are called not to fret, because we know the sovereign God, who has all things in his hands, and we have the joy of his Spirit inside us to bring comfort and joy to those who are concerned. Don't fret. We know the ending. Go in peace.